Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Wow, it is good to be back. Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast, and Steve's not here.
He's not. It's awesome.
What's up, Eric?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Doug.
Hey, how's it going?
Steve's not here.
Steve is not here.
So we are back in the groove. It's been a little while. It might seem like we're in the groove for everyone in podcast land, but I had a baby.
And took a little break there.
Took a little break. Man, we haven't been on a regular schedule since like trade show season and turkey hunting and all the stuff. So it feels good to be back in studio. Steve's working. We didn't kill him or fire him or anything like that yet.
So keyword there.
A couple things, quick. We're going to do a little intro here. This is going to be a fun episode. The first episode with a team Hang and Bang member since it's been official. Maybe I'll read off a roster here. I'll have to get prepared for that within the episode. The shoot, the Working Class Bowhunter shoot, July 20th. It is near the studio. Our studio's in Sherrard, Illinois. It's limited space. Eventually, we have to shut down due to capacity and space. It's on private property. It's a private event. So we have to be careful on how we can manage it. We're growing every year, so as the years go on with this, we're going to have to figure something else out each year. If you want to go to the shoot, send us an email at workingclassbowhunter@gmail.com. Go to workingclassbowhunter.com and hit the contact form and email us, private message us on Facebook or Instagram. Hey, I want to come. How do I get a registration form? I'll send you a link to the registration form, and there's a password. And then if you have a friend that wants to come with, they have to do the same thing. I have to send them the registration form. It's because it's on private property. We want everyone to acknowledge that if something happens, it's not the property owner's fault. Everyone's having fun at their own risk, that type of thing. You understand. Yeah. You get that. So
makes sense.
It's just the way we have to do it. If you want to go, message us. We'll get you that information.
And we just went and checked out the property. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
It was
Tuesday.
Man, I'm lost.
It's going to be freaking awesome.
Over a pond, shooting over a pond, shooting over a pond at Doris, the Steel Doe. There's going to be a lot of giveaways. I know Joe Humphreys from Big Time is going to be there. He's going to be our Oprah.
Oh boy.
We got a little shelter going on there. I mean, it's going to be freaking fantastic.
It's going to be cool. We're going to set up, there's going to be a 3D range. It's not a competition, I might add. It's just for fun. It's to push your archery limits. It's to get you out of your comfort zone. It's going to be a ton of fun. I can't wait. Basically, you're going to come back with no points is how that 3D range is going to go. And that's a good thing. We just want it to be fun. Yeah. Whatever. You got a veteran shout out, sir.
I do got the veteran shout out. This was submitted by Sean Polk, which is going to be on the podcast
here. That's convenient.
And he submitted Major Matthew Sinelli, MD, from United States Air Force. And he is an active duty member, an ER doctor in the Air Force, and he came with him on his Mexico turkey hunt, actually.
Oh, very cool.
So, yeah, we'll have to have him talk about him on the podcast.
Awesome. Yeah. I'll open a beer for you, and thank you for your service. Awesome. If you want to submit a veteran shout-out, workingclassbowhunter.com, hit the contact tab. You can find out how to do it there.
All right. The podcast is presented by Scent Crusher, scentcrusher.com. We talk about it all the time. We're in the off season officially. We're in archery season, as we like to call it.
The humid hot season. Sorry.
No, you're right. So, yeah, Scent Crusher is now the time to get your Scent Crusher stuff. Get ready for season. The if you start hunting in August, if you start hunting in September, Scent Crusher, save your ass there because that's the hottest time. You get sweaty. The podcast is also brought to you by HHA Sports, hhasports.com. We are all the whole working class bow hunter crew this year is shooting the Tetra, and we are pretty
single
pumped.
Single pin.
And the Virtus.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I just got my rig set up the other day.
I got mine set up. I just got inserts in.
Yep.
And getting ready to set up my arrows and get ready for the shoot.
But every day I want to sight it in, it rains. Imagine that around here.
I know it, man. It's been
freaking miserable.
The gnats are so bad right now in my area that if I was at full draw, I'd freaking come unglued. And by the way, the podcast is also brought to you by Elite. So our 35s are set up with the Tetra and the Virtus Arrow Rest from HHA. And we... Me and Eric are shooting the 35, Ritual 35. Yep. Doug and Steve are shooting the Ritual 30s.
I was a little skeptical about the snow camo at first, you know.
Ooh, I was jealous when I opened that box.
Yeah, it looks good.
When you see it in person, it looks freaking glorious.
It looks real nice, man.
It does.
It looks really nice.
The QU looks pretty good to you, though.
The podcast is also brought to you by Big Tine. You will see a lot of Big Tine stuff at the shoot. Victory Archery. Hunter's Blend Coffee, use code WORKINGCLASS for 10% off. Combination Creative, if you need any logo work, website work, graphic work done, hit up Combination Creative. Our boy Jordan over there is awesome. And that's all we got for the business side of things. Dude, it feels good to be back in studio.
It does.
It feels kind of weird.
It feels like it's been a minute.
I feel like it's going to take a minute to like knock off the...
The dust.
Off the dust. And
Oil the hinges.
Yeah. Well, last episode we had I guess you'd call him the president of the Illinois Deer and Beer Fest, which is a show we're going to in August. We're going to have a booth there that's in Bloomington, so come check it out. We're going to probably have like 1 o'clock beer pong competitions at our booth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to
Oh, boy.
Partners?
You're going to knock the dust off of that, too.
Yeah, I know. We're going to practice. But we have a booth next to Gator Outdoors there.
Awesome.
And Wade will be on the show soon. But really, other than that, man, turkey season was winding down. Me and Eric, I only had 2 days to turkey hunt.
That's crazy.
Well, it's just, you know, with the baby being born right in the middle of things. And,
right.
You know,
yeah,
that's
a good point.
I think I only went out 2 days.
Yeah, that's maybe all three. I filmed a bobcat.
But you know me and turkey hunting, I'm not a big...
I get it, man.
Turkey hunting that much, but
it's a bird.
Eric probably hates turkeys now because we went out the first time, and the tom's just like what,
right on the
eighty yards
on the other side of the fence for probably an hour and a half, and one didn't even move. Like he didn't even move within a 1 foot circle.
Just hung up.
Yeah. Then he walks away, and me and Eric are like, Eric's kind of like, you know, let's go get some bread. So I'm like, all right, that sounds pretty good.
Some beers.
And then the turkey comes back, gets to the fence row.
Hops the fence.
And he looks like he's coming straight to the decoys. And, like, you know, I'm filming already, and Eric's getting ready. And then he comes to the fence,
and he gets
in the field, and just stops and goes straight, like, right behind us.
Well, yeah, he's walking down our fence line where the blind is. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, shit, he's going to come in. And he's probably 40 yards, but I would have to shoot right across Doug's face to even hit him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he's to our right.
40 yards is a long turkey
shot.
Right,
yeah.
But then he just stops, hops the fence behind us, and just walks right. I mean, what?
15 yards behind us.
Yeah.
Dude, that right there proves, like, what I always say is that turkeys are so dumb, they're hard to hunt.
Yeah.
Because I had the same thing happen the Saturday I got to hunt out at the lease. I called in two toms, and they were 30 yards behind me gobbling. They could see my decoys. I had Avian X decoys, and their goblins hung up right behind me and just wouldn't come down. And then they just eventually just passed me by and just kept moving. I'm like, it's just come on.
They're so frustrating.
They are frustrating.
I think that's like the later the seasons get, like the turkeys just get more, I don't know.
And yeah, it was fifth season in Illinois, and it was late season for you, Eric.
Well, then when we went to your place, how many toms did we see that day? 11?
We saw 11 toms strutting at one point.
You guys had a good season. I don't know why your mic's popping.
I don't either. I'll back away from it.
Usually Steve's on it, and it sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had three toms come in, like, what are they, 60 yards?
60 yards, and that hen walked 5 yards in front of us.
We actually did have a bearded hen walk 5 yards from us, but
I know. I just
can you shoot a bearded hen in Iowa?
That's a pretty long beard too for a hen.
I'm not sure if you can in Illinois or not.
Like an 8-inch beard.
Yeah.
But the, you know, we had three toms that were supposed to come in, so we're just waiting for them, and they just did like a loop around us.
I think at one time all 11 of them were in the field at time.
It was crazy.
It's insane. But just we were calling, they didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know. Turkeys are cool, man. They are a lot of fun. I was trying to decap one this year, and hopefully we'll make it back out to Kansas next year and do all that. But, you know, whatever. This is going to be like our last turkey season podcast for 2019. There are still some states still trickling on to turkey season, but the hunt we're going to talk about tonight is kind of a unique one, one that most people here don't go on or think about going on, and most of our listeners probably know about this subspecies of turkey, or maybe it's its own deal. But I feel like a lot of people don't know about it, about like the oscillated bird, you know?
Because that's the most colorful one, right?
Yeah, it's like a damn peacock.
Right, that's what I mean.
It's like a mix between a peacock and turkey, basically.
Is that pop filter up too high?
Damn, there it is.
Jeez. You go. Try that shit.
Try that shit. But yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting. But this will be the last one. We got some. We're gonna get really focused on archery because that's what we like to do. Hopefully, we get to do some 3D shoots this summer. And
I got one down the road about 3 miles from my house.
I know you do. Now we got to get out there. We have to set a date for that one, and I'll go out there and shoot for the belt.
Breaking these rituals.
I know. I got to get dialing on mine. I'm excited to get that tetra dialed in, get shooting, get obsessed again, you know, like get obsessed with archery. That's what I'm excited about some of these episodes we have already scheduled for the summer is we have some top-level archers on schedule. So, you know, I think that gets me excited interviewing them and talking to them about archery and our listeners. You know, they'll really buckle down and get ready to sling some arrows until their freaking arms fall off. So
it's also kind of weird because after missing those turkeys in Kansas, it's like I almost want to shoot more now, like get my bow perfect. Like this new ritual, just have it slinging darts.
Well, I have some big hunts planned. I think I'm going to South Dakota. We might, we all might be going to Nebraska. That's kind of up in the air right now. I'm going to Oregon in October for a mule deer hunt.
You're going to be busy.
Dude, yeah.
Busy.
It's crazy. We have, right now, working class bow hunter behind the scenes is, there's a lot of things dialed up. But it almost feels like, I felt like
flood.
It is like a flood. But it almost feels like, too, like I was actually talking to D-Rock the other day. I'm like, I feel like being so busy with working class bow hunter behind the scenes is affecting the show on the front lines for now. It won't in the long run. But, like, for now, we're also in the lull, right? Like, turkey season's ending, archery season's just vamping up. And so right now it feels really, it's just a big lull. But we're working on our other Carbon TV series, another series that's coming out, and then this weekly series that we're doing that you're listening to now, the original Working Class Bow Hunter.
Well, now we're getting back into whitetails, too. I mean, this is the time to start putting big time out and everything else.
Back to the racks, baby.
That's right.
We already got some bucks on the deer cams.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I got to get all mine out. The big time cams, the ATG trail cams are out. I got to get them all out. One of them's probably underwater right now taking pictures of carp.
Carp or raccoon swimming by.
For real.
Just his feet.
An otter.
Yeah. I had I have a little creek bottom on my lease, and I have it on the south side right there, and it's underwater. My ground blind's gone, I bet.
Oh, I've had that happen. It's gone.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's got to be.
Because how much rain we've had, it's rained every day for probably...
thunderstormed.
Yeah, for probably 15 days in a row, I bet.
Easily, I'd say.
It's insane.
Yeah, and now the tornadoes are coming.
They are?
Yeah, you didn't hear all the tornadoes that hit Iowa and Illinois and... What was it? Everywhere?
Oh, you made it sound like there was like more on the way.
Oh, I don't know. There probably is.
I don't know. I don't watch the news.
It could
be. Yeah, all I see is tornadoes on the news. It's like, oh, that's not good.
Well... No. It was a fun little pre-intro. Feels good to be back. We're excited to do this with the first podcast with the official Team Hang and Bang member, and it's all good. So we're excited.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for all the support along the way. Sorry if it got a little dull there for a minute. I hope it didn't. It felt that way from my perspective because I'm busy with family stuff, which I absolutely have to do and absolutely love doing, and just different stuff we're juggling right now. We're working on a bunch of stuff, but big things to come, big episodes to come, bigger series to come. So if you want more from this series and want something else, mm-hmm. there's a lot more on the way. So
we're going to have that for you.
Yeah, we appreciate the continued support and the love and all the comments and messages and everything. It's it really makes it feel worth it, even though sometimes you're like, why the fuck am I doing all this?
Yeah, that one message was pretty cool that you got the other day. Some guy down south was sitting in a bar, and he noticed their hat.
Yeah, yeah. I feel bad that I don't have the message pulled up. I should have had that ready because it was cool. He said he had our hat on. No, what was it? He saw some guy with our hat on.
Oh, I thought someone seen him with our hat on. I don't know. Maybe I read it wrong.
Fuck, maybe. I don't remember. My brain's been a cluster. Someone down there in Tennessee saw someone with our hat on and was like, hey, are you listening to them? And the dude was like, fuck yeah. And then like went and got a beer.
Is this it?
Doug pulls it up.
Oh, Derek Long. Yeah, this is kind of cool. Sorry, Derek. I freaking drew a blank. What's up, brother? I don't know how many followers you have in Texas, but I was... Oh, this isn't it.
Oh, it's not. Sorry.
What's in Texas? We said Tennessee.
I just found a picture of a cool message.
Okay, that wasn't it. Hold on. Let me look. Let me pull it up.
We'll find it.
As we all go silent.
Yeah. Somebody talk.
Take a break.
Eric, say something.
Say something.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. That
it was a cool message, though, that someone sitting in a bar and they noticed our logo
right
in
here.
The hat.
Brennan Jensen. I'm in Memphis, Tennessee for work meetings all week. A bunch of us went out drinking last night, and I was wearing my WCB hat, and they had a guy come up to me and tell me, nice hat. I asked him if he knew what it was, and he said, well, fuck yeah, I listen to that podcast all the time. That's how you know you made it big, bro. Congrats. Random dude from Tennessee, 8 hours from home. That's pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
That's badass.
It's crazy, actually.
It is crazy.
Dude from Tennessee, let us know who you are. All right, guys. Again, we appreciate the hell out of you. We'll dive into this episode. Hope you enjoy.
It's really, really not that good.
Class. All right, we're finally in the actual podcast. What's up, everyone? First, so our guest today is a member of Team Hang and Bang. We did the applications, and we picked the team, and we finally have it narrowed down. Everyone's got their contracts in. They've signed their lives away. I figured what I'll do is just write off the official or announce the official roster real quick.
The ride or die crew.
Number one, working class boner. Oh, they're in there. That's good. Yeah. Oh,
that's cool.
Landon Thomas. Jeremy Beck, the monster. He's our bodyguard. Connor Wakefield. D-Rock. Bill Moretti. Wayne Cox.
Steve Moore.
Clark Cummings. Nick Whittier. I don't know how to say your name, man. Cole Young. Chris Zeger. Clayton Meyer. Dominic Sheets. Dana Pace. Clay Thurman. Chris Smith. Chaz Schrupp. Damian Rifle, Dan Smeltz, Steve Stoff, Timothy Stancliffe, Daniel Wilson, Jess Wagner, Sean Polk, Derek Long, Phil Murray, Brian Johnson. That is the team, and that's what it is. We'll do some sort of like official introductions like down the line. But what's most important is we have Mr. Sean Polk here right now with us. What is up, man?
What's going on, fellas?
Not much.
Just enjoying the time without Steve. We're actually drinking Budweiser's for
tall
the
boys.
Special Ooh, occasion.
Tall boys.
Bud Heavies. I like it.
Yeah, Diesel.
Yeah, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm glad to be finally talking to y'all. I've been listening to y'all for a while. It's cool to be on the phone.
Yeah, so how long have you been listening? Let's really test your knowledge.
I want to say it's probably 2.5 years, right. But once I got into it, I went back and started from scratch and got all the way caught up to current.
And you're a brave soul, man.
Dang, dude, that's hardcore. So, and then you applied for Team Hang and Bang, and you somehow got picked.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but it did.
He's cut. He's out.
Yeah. He'll be done after this podcast, I bet. He'll resign. So tell us about who you are, man, where you're from, and how you made Team Hang and Bang.
So I am Sean Polk. Grew up in Connecticut. I went to college down in Virginia. Came down here basically just to play baseball. Stayed after I graduated, and I live in Chesapeake, Virginia. So we're like right on the border of North Carolina and the southeast part of Virginia. And you know, I've been listening for a while. Heard y'all coming out with Team Hang and Bang. I was like, man, that'd be pretty cool. I was like, I went to the application, just filled it out, talked about where I've hunted, things I've done, what I'm into, and here I am.
Very cool, man. Well, I appreciate the support along the way, and glad you're on the team,
sure.
and looking forward to working with you over the next year and see where this whole Team Hang and Bang shit goes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody's pretty pumped about it. All the guys that are in there seem like they're pretty amped to see where it goes and just be part of it, and I think it'll be pretty cool.
It's already formed like its own community without us like doing much yet with it, so that shows that we chose the right people, you know?
Oh, for sure. I mean, everybody seems, you know, like they're pretty interactive and getting along really good and just sharing different things and pictures and stories and videos, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there's people posting in there all the time.
And there's some killers in there too, man.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of cool to see.
It's pretty cool. So, Sean, you just from chatting with you, man, on and off, like it sounds like you grew up in an interesting type like hunting family. It sounds like your dad's done a lot of hunting all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, my dad, the easiest way to describe it is if you name it, he's probably killed it. It's easier for me to probably list things that he hasn't killed than it is to list the things he has killed, because it's just the laundry list is ridiculous. He's been all over the world.
So is that something your grandfather did and then got your dad into it? Is it something your dad picked up and then just how did that all work?
Ran with it.
So my dad grew up he got into hunting when he was about 18, and he used to go with my grandpa and my uncles and their friends and family up to way upstate in Maine, and they would hunt up there probably usually just for like a week a year, because back when he was young, Connecticut didn't even have a deer season because there wasn't that many deer. Mm-hmm. And then he just got big into deer hunting, and then he became, you know, he went to school and became a doctor, and then once I was – God, I don't know. I think his first real trip, like other than just hunting deer, he went to Canada and went for moose and caribou, and it's been kind of downhill ever since, and he's just been going everywhere. So really? It was he kind of started that on his own. Like my grandpa deer hunted, but never did any of that crazy stuff.
So how old were you when you started hunting then, if he was into all this stuff?
I shot my first... Well, Connecticut, you can't hunt deer until you're 12. So my dad belonged to a club that stocked pheasants. I shot my first pheasant when I was 7. And then my dad took me up to upstate New York to some private hunting preserves where they had some exotics and stuff. And I think I shot my first boar, like a wild boar, and some kind of little Corsican ram when I was 11. And then once I was 12, it was when I could hunt deer in Connecticut. It was just full bore deer hunting after that.
That's awesome, man. That's kind of a cool, like, that's a crazy. Different way from the normal story of, like, coming up in the hunting game, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I just got thrown into whitetails right out of the gate, which I'm super thankful for, but, you know, getting to go to a preserve and getting to shoot a hog and a Corsican ram and all that would have been a blast, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. I mean, that kind of stuff was awesome, but I was always... Deer was always my thing, even before I could deer hunt. But in Connecticut, unfortunately, you had to wait till you were 12, take your test, and then you could start hunting. Here in Virginia, there is no limit as long as you're with an adult. So I could take a 5-year-old out with me if I wanted to. And
that's awesome. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like that a lot better because some kids are just more mature and ready for it before other kids. And it should be the parent that decides and not the state.
Well, yeah, because a lot of times at 12 years old, you might already be like hardwired into a main interest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, not everybody at that point, you know, if you can't get into hunting that early, then you may never get into hunting.
Yeah. I mean, hunting, I don't know what it would be like to get hunting later in life. Like Eric, you hunted always, but like deer hunting, bow hunting.
Bow hunting came in later, but since I was born, I grew up around hunting.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Like, it wasn't strange to
you. It wasn't just whitetails, you know, it was pheasants, ducks, geese. Right. I mean, it was
You didn't hop into it like cold turkey, like, I'm a bow hunter now. Like, you kind of knew about the hunting game. Yeah. I can't imagine being like 25 and being like, bow hunting? Well,
what's that?
Let me try this out. Like, I feel like that. I mean,
I was 21.
Yeah.
When I jumped
in. That's true. I mean, I hope people do that, you know, because that's awesome. But I feel like for me, I have to. It just seems like my main interest in life are stuff I got wired into like young.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Because the hunting thing was always there, just the bow hunting was. My dad's never shot a bow in his life.
Yeah.
I just was never there for, you know, to grow up in the bow hunting industry or bow hunting in general.
Right. Yeah. No, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So, Sean, what is that what got you? I mean, we're going to lead into this Mexican turkey hunt. But, I mean, where else have you been besides Mexico to hunt?
I've hunted Texas a couple times. I've hunted New Brunswick for black bear three times. Went to Saskatchewan for deer, New Mexico antelope, South Dakota deer twice. I've hunted North Carolina, but you know, that's just a short little drive. Hunted Connecticut, Maine, and Alaska. I think that's it.
So you're following in your dad's footsteps then.
I mean, I'm just really lucky, though. I don't have the job that affords for me to go on those trips. I'm just lucky that his job does, and he asked me to go.
Right? Yeah, that's a nice perk, huh?
Yeah, because, I mean, I would be doing, I could, you know, do the DIY stuff, but if, you know, or if I really wanted to save up. But, I mean, a lot of times he's like, hey, I was thinking about going to do this. Would you be interested? And I'm like, just tell me where I got to go and when I got to be there, and I'm in.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's awesome, man. That is really cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk about turkeys, man. Going back in, I was telling in the pre-intro here that this is probably our last turkey episode for the year until next turkey season. So where have you killed turkeys before?
I've killed a Rio in Texas, Easterns in Connecticut, and I killed a Merriam in South Dakota, and now I got my oscillated in Mexico.
Very cool. So you've been all over. So you're no stranger to killing birds.
No, but I actually haven't been doing it all that long. I never shot a turkey until I think it was 2011 when I was in Texas. It was my first ever turkey.
Oh, really? Cool. So yeah. How did this... There's a lot of people that don't know about the oscillated bird, and I don't know a lot about them, and I don't know where they live exactly in Mexico and all that. So basically, let's start the listeners out. Like, how did you find out you were going on this trip, and how did you plan for it, and where did you go?
So last, not this past March, but the March before, I was in Connecticut, and my dad, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Dallas Safari Club.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys ever heard of it?
Yeah.
So my dad's a member of Dallas Safari Club, and he's the member of the Northeast chapter, and they have their big dinner auction banquet deal at the casino in Connecticut. So he goes every year, and he's like, man, you know, he was going with my stepmom and some guys and their wives, and he asked if, you know, me and my wife wanted to come up. And I was like, shit, hell yeah. So we went up for that, and
shit, hell yeah, be there.
Yeah. So I went up there, and they have auctions and stuff, different trips, and that's how my dad gets a lot of his trips. He gets a lot of good deals on different trips because he goes to these dinners or whatnot, and they have these auctions, and people, I don't know if they're either just not interested or don't know, but he gets them for a lot less than what they would go for, you know, because he gets an auction.
Yeah.
So we're at this dinner, and his friends, this guy from Rhode Island was there, and I guess he was interested in that trip, and it was the package was for two guys. So my dad, he's been to Mexico for these turkeys before. I mean, I don't know, year, probably 6, 7 years ago. But he really wasn't going for the turkey. The turkey was just kind of part of the package. And, you know, because he shoots all kinds of crazy shit. So they had these little deer called gray brocket deer. They're like little 40-pound deer with little spike antlers.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what he was really interested in, and he wanted to go back. So he told my dad, he told his buddy, because he didn't get one last time. So he told his buddy, he's like, look, if you get the trip, he's like, I'll be your second guy. So his buddy gets the trip. I don't know what he got it for, but it was pretty cheap. And he they, you know, my dad was like, all right, well, cool, we're in. He's like, but see if you can get, if they'll let you add, you know, more guys on at the same price. So he talked to the guys down in Mexico and, yeah, you know, we could add another, you know, two more guys. Cause my, one of my friends from home from high school, he came with us too. So, they added two more guys on for the same price. So basically they just got on an auction and added us on. And we were, it was a go.
No shit. I mean, you can't beat that for the same price. No,
yeah, that's awesome.
No.
That's
a deal. Yeah. Jim Shockey's actually hunted there at this place we went to. They had pictures of him shooting the Brocket deer down there.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So have you ever been to Mexico before this?
Yeah, I've been to, like, Cancun area and Cozumel, like, family vacations and resorts, but not, like, that kind of shit.
Right, not, like, real Mexico. So where was it?
So we went to Campeche, and then we flew in to Mexico City, then Mexico City to Campeche. So it's on the Yucatan Peninsula. So it's like if you look on a map where Cancun is, I think it was about a 5-hour drive west of Cancun, and Campeche is right on. I think Campeche is a state, but then they also have a city. So we flew into the city, and then we had a probably like a 4-hour drive from the city out to where we hunted.
No shit. So you got to see Mexico.
Oh yeah. We were driving through little freaking towns where they have like these crazy speed bumps because, you know, they don't want people flying through these little postage stamp towns.
Yeah.
And you hit these speed bumps and there's all these little Mexican dudes and women out there trying to sell you all kinds of shit when you're going through the speed bumps and have to slow down.
Brazil had the same thing. I've been through, like, Brazil, and they have, like, the big – they're, like, really big speed bumps.
Yeah. It's like if you hit them not paying attention, you're going to freaking wreck your car.
Yeah.
So, they're that big?
Yeah. The ones in Brazil were, like – I was in Brazil, like, it would have been, like, middle of the night, like, early in the morning. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And they're trying to sell you fruits and vegetables and little fucking drinks and – shit, I don't even know what the drinks were, but some kind of like mixed up water and powders and stuff.
No shit.
Yeah, stay away from the powders, man.
Yeah, did you drink any?
Yeah, we did have one. We were going back into town after we got done hunting. My dad was like dying of thirst, and we stopped at this gas station for guys to go to the bathroom and whatnot. And there's some dude with a cart, and he's selling these drinks. And my dad was like, He's like, I'm fucking thirsty. He's like, I need one. He's like, I don't give a shit if I get sick. He's like, I just need to drink something. He's like, do you want one? I was like, screw it. Luckily, we didn't get sick because they were just in water bottles, and the seal was broken because they had to mix it up. For all you know, they're taking their crazy freaking diseased water that's
in ayahuasca.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're in another dimension.
Yeah,
trying to fight your way through the stars back to the dark arts.
The dark arts.
But we got lucky; we didn't get sick. Thank God.
That's crazy, man! What an experience, just in that, like turkey or not.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, you got to see the little towns and the people, and then the city where we flew in, and you stayed the night, and then they come and they have three different camps, so they have a lot of guys that they're picking up, and they come with some buses and pick you up the next day. So we were able to go out to dinner at night and kind of see around the city a little bit at night. So it was pretty cool.
Did you like go out drinking and all that, or like?
Yeah, I mean, we went out, had some beers and some food that night.
They went clubbing.
what beer did you drink down there?
In camp, they had Modelo. They had the cooler stayed stock with Modelos all day, every day. They were on top of it.
That's awesome. Do you see any La Bonitas down there, or what was the deal? I think that means very beautiful. I don't know. I don't know what Spanish.
Senoritas?
I'm trying to sound like
you
rock
make
over
shit
here.
Up.
Oh, I know, like, Bonita is, like, beautiful, I think.
Yeah, you sound like us trying to speak Spanish to the guys. Like,
dude, I've been to Brazil. I've tried to speak Portuguese to people down there and have them look at me like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, I wouldn't even know. I mean, I know Portuguese is kind of like Spanish, but it's not, you know, I know there's some differences, but I wouldn't even know
where
to start.
I tried to speak Portuguese when I was in Brazil, and they just looked at me and, like, giggled. I'm like,
I care to be a translator for us.
Yeah,
for sure.
But, yeah, I mean, that was the hard part. I wish I would have brushed up on more of my Spanish before I went down.
Yeah, it wouldn't have helped.
Yeah. I knew – I mean, I took it in high school, but that was a long time ago. So I knew a little bit I can remember, but my buddy, he knew, he was stationed in San Antonio, so he dealt with, you know, he's a doctor, so he had to deal with a lot of like Mexican people coming in and whatnot. So he knew just enough to say like ridiculously inappropriate shit to all the guides.
That's awesome.
To make
they
them laugh
loved,
a little bit.
Well, they probably loved it, right?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, they were laughing because Pavo is turkey in Spanish. So he would just like all day, he would just be like Pavo Muerte. And it means like, I know Muerte is like dead or death or something like that, to kill. I'm not really even sure, but it's something to do with like dead turkey. And he would just say it all day.
That's hilarious.
Was that your buddy from the Air Force?
Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome.
We'll shout him out for you.
Sweet. I'll make sure he checks it out.
Yeah, he better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he better.
Thank you for your service.
But thank you for your service.
What an asshole.
You're a saint. We appreciate you. So, yeah, going down, like, what an adventure just for a bird. You know what I mean? Like,
that's crazy.
Turkeys are amazing. I would love to do it. Like, if I could get people, like, if you ever go down again, you're like, hey, Kurt, you want to go? I'm like, well, you've been there before. You know how the system works. Like, all right, let's go. But I don't think I'd ever go, like, by myself or, like, with
like,
Eric.
Like, with us.
No, with a mullet. Don't go with me.
With us three idiots. Just
yeah, white as hell.
White as hell.
All that kind of stuff. Like, I have a good time on these, like, some of these crazier trips. But that's my dad. I want this one because I wanted to get my slam, and I knew I had to get it. So if I didn't go this time, I probably never would go. But my dad, I mean, all his trips, he goes 95% of them. He goes all over the world all by himself. I'm just like, man, that's I can't crazy. Imagine. Just yeah.
So when you were down there, are you hunting out of a turkey blind, or are you just walking around trying to shoot them, or calling them, or what the hell's going on?
So you do some walking. You do. They don't use blinds down there because they don't use like beak. It's not like here where you set up decoys and you call, you know. And so it's different hunting. Like the craziest thing you'll probably never believe this shit, but you know, instead of like a blind or sitting up against a tree, like when you're getting ready to set up on a spot, like whether it's a water hole or just the area where there's these little like, acorn looking things that they eat. You know, they find a good spot, and all of a sudden he breaks his backpack out and he pulls out freaking two hammocks and ties them off, and you just chill in the hammock and we'll just sit around and wait.
Really? And do what while you sit there?
Like you just lay there and hang out?
Did you just drink beer?
Yeah. No. We drink beer when we're done in the morning and afternoon, but not when we're hunting. But, you can sit up in the hammock, or you could kind of kick back on the hammock with, you know, you just keep your feet on the ground so you could sit up quick. You weren't like, you know, feet up taking a nap kind of shit. But I mean, it was pretty cool. Like I was just like, holy crap, this dude just busted a hammock out and tied it up real quick, and the next thing you know, we're just chilling.
Doug,
no way,
next year turkey hunt, we're breaking out the hammocks.
Oh boy, kill some easterns out of a hammock.
Yeah, maybe it'll work around here, you never know.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
It was pretty crazy. I mean, I could see it, you know, working. Just if you, instead of sitting, you know, up against a tree on the ground somewhere or whatnot, I mean, it was kind of cool. It was definitely more comfortable than sitting on the ground, that's for sure.
They just think you're a branch hanging there.
So I'm kind of going to reverse you a little bit. Like, once you got to the camp, like, kind of just, like, paint that picture for us.
So we get to camp on, well, we flew in Saturday, stayed the night. They picked us up Sunday morning, driving to camp. And like that first night, you don't hunt. We got in like late afternoon. You just kind of hung around. You know, we drank. we brought a couple bottles of booze. They had plenty of beers stocked all times, and we just kind of drank beers and hung out. You know,
help us imagine. Like, is this a 1-star lodge? Is this a 5-star lodge? Like, what are we?
We need the deets here.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
You sleep in the hammocks.
No, so you're in the middle of nowhere, so there's no power. They have a generator for lights at night, but you're sleeping. I mean, you're sleeping in beds with mattresses, but you're in like it's kind of like a hut, but it's got a concrete floor. It's got walls with some screen windows, and it's kind of it's kind of like a thatched roof, like with like palm frond type deal, and. I mean, it's not. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect because I've seen some places online where you sleep in these like intense, like nice big tents, but not like these huts. I mean, these were kind of permanent structures, you know. It had a bathroom, toilet, and a shower that were gravity fed with water. So, I mean, it wasn't bad.
Oh, but nice. So you were comfortable.
Well, aside from the heat, I mean, you woke up sweating in a, you know, laying in a pool of sweat in the morning, and you went to bed laying in a pool of sweat at night. I mean, that was the worst part of the entire trip.
Just sweating constantly.
All day, all, every day. And, you know, you get some wind, but you're laying below the windows where the wind would blow through, so you didn't feel any of it. So you just baked in there. It was like 95 every day.
Oh, man. I couldn't sleep at all. There's no way.
Yeah, that was the worst part. And you take a shower and you feel good, but then you get out and 10 minutes later you are the same as you were before. So.
Back to swamp ass.
You're sweating when, as soon as you get out of the shower.
Eric would be like sleeping on the concrete floor just
I would for sure.
No, dude. They had freaking the second day we were there, I'm trying to take a nap in the afternoon, and all of a sudden I hear my buddy, he's in the shitter, and he starts freaking out. He's like, Sean, give me a boot. Give me a shoe. I need fucking something. I'm like, what? He's like, give me a shoe. And I go in there. He's got his pants around his ankles. There's a scorpion that's in there. And he takes the boot and he's fucking swatting at the scorpion, trying to kill it.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that concrete floor.
Yeah, that's a good point. They'd be like trying to get you for a man. Oh, boy.
And we were making fun of him because he didn't know what the situation was going to be like. So he was in. He went to Syria, got deployed to Syria last year, so they gave him like these little one man kind of tent. It's like a, I don't know, you could fit a sleeping bag in there, but it's like zipped up so you could get protected from bugs and whatnot. Yeah. So he brought that, and he was sleeping in that every night, and we were making fun of him. And then after the freaking scorpion, we're like, oh man, I wish we had those.
Oh, that's awesome.
It just goes straight to the back of your mind, like, oh boy.
Oh, shit.
See, I wanted to know all that because I know a lot of our listeners, like myself, like, I had no idea what you're to curious. Expect for this. I'm just curious, like a cat, you know? Right. And I'd never even thought about going to Mexico. I've never researched it for a turkey hunt like this. I knew about these turkeys, but thought, oh, that'd be cool, but didn't know what it would be like. When you think of like, oh, I'm going to a lodge in Mexico, you think Cozumel Resort.
Yeah.
No, it was definitely not like that. But, I mean, I've been in worse, but, you know, it wasn't – I mean, for where you're going, I mean, it was pretty comfortable setting. It wasn't bad at all. I mean, they took care of you. They put clean sheets on the beds every single day. Once you left to go out to hunt, you'd come back in the late morning and you'd have fresh sheets on there every day. I mean – so it was for where you were. It was pretty. I'd say it was 5-star, so like the best that they could do.
Really,
like the bugs and insects, like really bad.
No, the bugs really weren't bad. I'm surprised.
It's too hot.
It's too hot for them.
Well, yeah, it was dry. So I think they said the fall is their wet season, where they get all their rain. Like there wasn't a drop of freaking rain the whole time we were there. Everything, all the leaves were super super crunchy. So I don't know if that makes a difference with the bugs, but they really weren't that bad.
How was the grub?
Oh, my God. The food was unbelievable.
I would imagine so, man.
They had two cooks, and they were young kids. They went to school to be chefs, and they said that 6 months out of the year, they cook in resorts in Cancun when it's like their busy season, like touristy season, and then they come there and cook the rest of the year.
That's awesome.
So, oh, man, what a deal.
Yeah, and they had one guy, I guess, that had come hunt there from Minnesota that had some sports bars and wanted to open a Mexican restaurant. And he was like, dude, I want to help these guys come be like U.S. citizens and work for me 10 months out of the year. And then they could come back here and, you know, and visit for 2 months. And he was dead serious. Like, they were really, like, working to get those guys up there. He was, like, the food was unreal.
Wow. Man, that's a deal. Were the guys about it or the... The Mexican chefs?
I mean, they say down there, like, you tell somebody, like, because a lot of them are in poor areas, and they're not really coming from a whole lot down there, so they were, like, doing backflips.
Oh, I bet. That's insane. Yeah. That's pretty cool, though,
that
man.
That is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Like, and all they had to cook, you know, so they have a generator, so they fire it up every once in a while if they need to use, like, a blender or something for whatever they're making. But other than that, they had, you know, like, if you were going to, you fry a turkey, you know, those big burners you use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They had two of those, and they cooked like 5-star meals on that.
Wow. Just that little burner.
Yeah. I was like, impressive. If you put these guys in a real kitchen, I can't imagine what the hell they do.
Woof.
That is cool, man.
That's insane.
I love hearing shit like that. That's awesome. That's very cool.
There was one thing that they cooked that was bad, and so
the scorpion.
No, yeah.
The turkey.
So tastes night, like boot.
So one night they want to do like a traditional Mayan dinner for us. So like how they cook, the Mayans used to cook. They dig a pit and then they build a fire. And they put these rocks on top of it, and they burn it down until it's coals, and these rocks get all real hot in the bottom. And they take all the meat, excuse me, put it all on the rocks, and then they put banana leaves on top of the meat, and then they take these branches with all these leaves and pile them up real tight on top of that. And they took these sheets of tin, covered it, and then they covered all of that with dirt until there was no smoke coming out.
It's a pit.
It just bakes in there, and we did it in the afternoon. We left, hunted, came back about 9 o'clock, and they uncovered it, took everything out. So the meat was amazing, but there was one thing that they were saying, like the guy that ran the camp, he spoke English. The guides and everybody, they spoke like they could say shoot turkey, deer, and that was it. And they're like, yeah, they know the important words, deer, turkey, shoot, and that was about it.
The necessities. So,
yeah. So they were taking like one guy shot a deer, so they're taking the heart, the liver, the kidneys, and all this stuff, and they were going to make something with it. So my dad saw them cutting it all up, and they were putting it in this big bowl, and I came over and was watching, and it looked good. It was all in a big bowl with a bunch of like jalapenos and cilantro and lime juice and all this stuff and onions. But then they used to put the esophagus and shit in there too, and you saw chunks of that, and that was pretty gross. But overall, it looked pretty good. But then it looked like they had a bowl. They were pulling something out of the bowl, and it looked like it was a dirty washcloth. Like, what the hell is that? And it was the stomach from the deer, but it was turned. It was turned inside out. So then they turned it back around, and they took all that shit and they stuffed it in the stomach, and they cooked it in the pit. So
shit.
Whoa. So my dad all day, he's like, oh, he's like, I'll try that if they have it for us, I'll try that. So they had a table that night set up with all, you know, with a bunch of different meats, and they were making tacos, and the two chefs, you'd go up and be like, oh, what do you want? And I was just like, oh, I'll take one of each. So it was four different tacos they were making. So I was like the fourth person. I sat down and I ate my first one, got to the next one. I take a bite, and two of my buddy and my dad's friend look at me and they're like, how's that one? And I'm like chewing it up. I'm like, it's pretty strong. Like, yeah, that's the fucking stomach one. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
What did it taste like?
Like, when if you gut shot a deer, you cut the stomach when you're gutting a deer, you know how what it smells like?
Yeah. Right?
That's what it tastes like.
Oh, hell
no.
No, I know.
I mean, I'll try anything once, but if it smells, it tastes like that, hell no.
I wouldn't try that.
I would have tried it.
I would try it for sure, but
you'd have to.
I didn't know what it would taste like, and I didn't even know that that's what it was. It was just in a bowl, and I was like, it looked good. So I was like, oh, I'll take one of everything. And I tried it, and I was like, holy crap, because I was like, well, it makes sense that's a stomach one, because I was like, I've smelled gut-shot deer before, and I was like, if I had to imagine what they would taste like, this is exactly what I would imagine.
Oh, everyone listening knows that smell, too.
Yeah, everyone's just sitting like that.
They're that's cringing.
Man, that's crazy. Okay, so... That I love hearing that stuff. I love, like, because if you're going to Mexico to do this, like, that is part of the hunt, right?
Yeah.
So,
oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All of our listeners that don't know, I feel like that's just a big thing. Like, that's part of the experience.
That shit you got to know.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm fascinated by – that's so foreign to me. Like, I've been to Brazil, and that was crazy as hell. Like, I'm like, holy fuck, I'm in Brazil. Like, whoa, this is insane. Yeah. You know, like, even when me and my wife went to Mexico for our honeymoon, like – we went off the resort, and I'm like, damn, like, we're in Mexico. Like, we're down in Mexico. Like, this is crazy. And it's kind of like a fun experience because you're in another land.
Should I do that when I go to a different state?
Eric's like, dude, I'm in Illinois. This is crazy. Sure, yeah, everyone's stressed out about taxes.
Yeah, I never left the country, so I'm like, I'm the same as Eric.
So, Sean, I got another question for you. Are the turkeys, like, as skittish and weird as they are up here?
I didn't see a ton of them, but I had one that got, like, really, really close to us.
Well, how about this? How about just break down some of the hunts and then just maybe break down your hunt?
All right. And basically, this is like the heart of what the episode is, right? Your hunt.
Right.
Yeah.
So feel free to break that down, and then what I'll do is, like, you can tell it however you want, and then I'll pull in some listener questions from Facebook and Instagram, and then we can break them down pretty quick.
All right. So first morning, you know, we woke up early, and we drove, and you'd hunt in pairs, or when you start out in pairs, everybody had their own guide. We rode, me and my buddy started off, and they had these bunch of Jeeps, and you'd ride in like a Jeep Wrangler, and the windshield folds down, there's no doors, no tops on it, and you're just riding on these bumpy ass roads. And we probably drove for an hour, got to wherever we were going to stop, and we split up and just kind of walked down these roads. And we walked and we jumped some birds. The guide said one of the birds, I didn't really get to see it, but he said one of them was a turkey that we jumped out of a tree, and another kind of bird, but no shots, no nothing. We heard one on the ground, kind of running away, and it was making some noise, and he was just saying pavo pavo. I was like, okay, I guess it's turkey. So
so they do roost like regular turkeys, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So in the morning we didn't, you know, no real action. I mean, a little bit, but I didn't hear nothing that was even close to getting a shot. And so we went back, and you go back in late morning, you eat some lunch, and then you have a couple hours just kind of hang out when it's real hot in the middle of the day, and you go out about 3 or 4 and come back about 9. So then we went out the afternoon. We dropped my buddy off, and we're driving to where we're going to go hunt, and we see these animals kind of run off to the side of the road, and he stops, and he's like, my guide telling me it's a Coati, C-O-A-T, or C-O-A-T-I. And this animal's like, they say it's part of the raccoon family, but it kind of looks like a raccoon and an anteater kind of crossed. It's got
like a crazy long tail and shit, right?
Yeah, it's got a long tail it's like a ring tail and like a long skinny kind of nose. And they're kind of weird looking animals. And I don't even know what the best thing.
My wife and I saw them on the resort where we were at, and they were everywhere, man. On our resort, right where we stayed, right outside our hotel. Every time we'd walk down to go to the beach or like to the bar area, they're everywhere. There's baby ones, and they were all like, I bet you 50 of them lived in the little jungle patch right outside our hotel.
Yeah, we saw a lot of them. I mean, we get out and I go and we kind of put a little stalk on it off the road, and down there we were all hunting with shotguns. They rent shotguns out, so you don't have to worry about bringing them in because you're just using birdshot. It's not anything crazy. So instead of going through the hassle of the paperwork to bring your guns into the country and all that, we just rented them for like $100 or $150 for the week.
Yeah.
And so we kind of put a little stalk on it, and I shoot it, and you know, so I get that was my first animal. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty cool looking. They're definitely different, because so the trip, the package that we got included 3 animals from the list of things that they have to shoot, and then if you wanted to shoot anything else, you could add it on for like a trophy fee, like if you were to go to Africa or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got 3 animals. I was really there just for the turkey. Anything else was just bonus. I didn't really going into it, I wasn't really sure what other stuff I wanted, because I was just like, I just want to make sure I get my turkey, and then I'll go take it from there. But that just kind of felt, that opportunity just fell in our laps, so I just shot it, and I was like, okay, that's pretty sweet. I was pumped. And
so what'd you do with that? Are you going to get it mounted or anything, or do you just say you just leave it or what?
Yeah, no, we're going to get it mounted. Now, again, like I'm really lucky that my dad, you know, he does really well. So he does, you know, pretty much mounts most of my stuff for me.
That's awesome.
Cause there'll be things that I'll be like, no, I'm not even going to get that mounted. He's like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, I'll get it done for you. So,
that's awesome.
Cause he brings so much business to our taxidermist. Like his old taxidermist was one of his best friends, so he pretty much did everything for cost for him. And now he passed away, so he's got a new guy. But he does, I mean, he brings a lot of work to the guy, so he hooks it up. Like my last year, I got back at Christmas time, and he did it for nothing. He just said, Merry Christmas, here you go.
Oh, that's perfect. Awesome.
That is cool. Yeah.
Super cool.
So I shoot that, I shoot the Cody, and then we get in the truck, and I was all pumped up because it happened real quick. So it's like by the time I got in the truck, that's like when you know your adrenaline's kind of starting to pump because you didn't really have time to think about it. Mm-hmm. And then so we're just we're continue driving to where we're gonna go, and we're going, and all of a sudden we see this turkey just runs across the road. And the guy stops the Jeep, turns it off, and he's looking, and he sees it's a male. And, some people are probably going to hear this, and they're probably going to talk shit. I shot the turkey right out of the Jeep. I mean, it was in the road, and the guy turned the Jeep off. We weren't driving down the road, but he said shoot, and it was right there. And I was like, I want the turkey. There it is. The guy's telling me to shoot, so I'm going to shoot it. So I freaking shot him right on the side of the road.
Well, I would never judge you for that because I wasn't in that situation. I wasn't down in Mexico, but I bet you a lot of people that are listening would probably done the same thing in that situation.
I would have done it for sure.
When your guide's sitting there telling you to do it, I mean,
that's my thing. Is,
yeah,
yeah. I'm not going to tell them how to hunt because I don't know
exactly.
And they told me to, it happened so quick. If it wasn't like we were driving, and it's Mexico. Like if I was hunting here and somebody told me to do that, I know that. In the United States or most places, you're not allowed to do that. I wouldn't have done it there, but in Mexico, I mean, we go out there and the rules are different there. We're on these, I'm saying a road, but it's rocky, rough, bumpy. I mean, you're far removed from any kind of little civilized B-road. Road. Yes. There's, you're in the middle of nowhere.
Level C.
Yeah.
Level C. Mexico.
I mean, and, some people might not agree with it and might think it's kind of a shitty way to do it, but that's the way I did it, and I was happy to get my turkey, so I don't really care.
No, I mean, no. Own it. So you shot this bird. Tell us about the coloration and how this bird looked when you got up to it compared to a normal turkey.
Basically, anything you imagine on a normal turkey, you just pretty much throw it out of the window because it looks completely different. They don't have beards at all. They have baby blue heads with these little crazy little bumps on their heads. I'm not really sure what the purpose of the bumps are, but they're kind of yellowish orangish bumps on their head. They're fan, they have a fan, but it's totally colored different than any kind of birds, any other turkeys, even any of the other ones you want talk about, even the other ones in Mexico, the Goulds. I mean, they're all completely different, but they're a lot smaller body wise. A lot of them have monster spurs. Mine didn't happen to have big spurs, but they had birds that they've shot earlier in the season that I saw that had ridiculous spurs on them. I'm talking over 2-inch spurs.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures of them, and it's like, holy shit, that'd do some damage.
That was the only disappointment. I was like, man, I almost want to pay $1,000 and shoot another one just so I could get one with those monster spurs. But
I'm shooting one with 3-inch spurs. What's up?
I'm going for a record.
Later in the week, I saw one super close, and I was looking. And if I saw big spurs, I was just going to shoot it, and I was like, I'll figure it out later.
Well, I mean, with 2-inch spurs, you'll be able to see that from a good distance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that was, the birds are... It's gorgeous, but that was, the spurs aren't that big of a deal to me, but I was just happy to get it. But after seeing some of the other spurs, I was like, oh, damn, mine got little stubby ones. But so
but still, it's a beautiful bird. I mean, you can't complain.
Yeah, they're amazing looking. That's crazy.
Yeah, and my only regret was I forgot my phone, or I thought I forgot my phone at camp that day, but I guess it fell out of my pocket in the Jeep, so I couldn't take any pictures that right then and there. Yeah. And then by the time we got back, it was dark, so they put it in the cooler to take pictures the next day, but it was all stiff the next day, so you couldn't get the real good quality pictures that you'd get when the birds, you just shoot the bird and you could pose it really nice and right. All that.
So my question is, out in the wild, when you see one, do they blend in at all, or do they just stick out like a sore thumb?
I guess they probably stick out more than our turkeys do. It's so thick there that when they're in the when they're really in the woods, it's kind of tough to see some things just because everything's really really thick. But I mean, you could see the head coming because it's got that baby blue head. But yeah, depending on how the sun's hitting them, that's when you really see the color, like the different colors in their feathers. You know, some angles and they may not look that cool, but then you get the sun really shining on them good, and you're like, holy crap, the colors are pretty amazing.
This is a crazy ass looking.
Well,
bird.
See, and that's so the thing cool. too. Like you say woods, but I think Mexico, like desert cactuses.
I think jungle.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Down there.
My whole idea of jungle going into it was much different than what it really was. Like, I guess in my mind, I was thinking more like, to me, jungle was more like rainforest, like I see in movies, and like I thought it'd be like real. Yeah. like really, like more wet and just way more, like way like green everything. And it was really thick woods. It's not all that different from what I have around here. It just, everything was really, really thick down there. And it was really, everything was really dry. They said in the fall, it's completely different, but it wasn't, it was just not what I thought it would be going into it.
That's crazy.
So what are you doing for the mount on this bird?
I haven't even decided. I mean, I'm going to do a full body mount, whatever. I'm not just not sure of the pose that I'm going to do yet.
That's awesome. That's cool. It's cool, man. That's going to be a beautiful conversation piece.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Can you imagine having that? People are like, what the hell is that?
What the
fuck? It's more like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Oh,
shit.
My dad's, I mean, he's got a room with, I mean, God, over 100 animals in his room. But everybody sees that turkey and they're like, what the hell is that? It's just so different looking. It really just sticks out. People think it's more of a peacock than it is a turkey.
Yeah, right. I mean, for good reason. Sean, so I'm going to chip through some social media questions here. Some of them we've covered already. If some of them don't really apply to your hunt, but maybe you can answer them for other people that in camp or whatever it may be.
Okay.
Doug Hood asks, I understand the majority of oscillated hunts are done by shooting the birds off the roost. Did you use a bow? Or he basically asked, was this how your hunt was done? But we know that. If so, did you use a bow? That would be tough. Great bird. Congrats.
So there was three other people that shot birds in camp, and they did shoot theirs out of the tree. The night I got mine, we were just kind of sitting on a water hole after, just because, you know, you could shoot more animals. So we just were kind of seeing what else we could see. And they don't have actual calls there, but they would use, the guy would have like a recording, and it would be a recording of a bird gobbling, doing their version, the version of what a gobble is for a turkey down there.
Let's hear it, Sean.
So, yeah, let's hear this. We got to hear this, Sean.
Oh, God. I tagged Kurt. Kurt, did you see that video I tagged you in on the Drury's?
I did see that one.
Yeah, if I was,
but I want to hear you do it.
If I was more prepared, I would have a recording of it ready, but I don't.
I'm not even going to attempt it, but if anybody wants to hear it, go to the Drury's.
Go pull it up on your phone, Doug. I would do it, but I'm
yesterday.
I wasn't prepared to have it.
So the guy just breaks out like this little speaker, and it had a recording of it just playing
like a
constantly.
Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah,
yeah.
Turtle box.
Yeah, and it was, and the worst part was is like, it would have some like woman on the like recorded on there. It says now playing, and then it would be really freaking loud, and then it would go into the turkey gobbling. Like it was pretty bootleg, but I mean it worked.
It's pretty bootleg.
He got one.
All right, I think I have the video here. I got your volume here. Is this your ringtone? Or I don't know how to do this.
I just hit play.
All right, here we go. Let's see if it works. This is on Drury's Instagram page or Facebook page. I don't know if you guys can hear that or not.
I can hear it.
I heard it good.
Is it going again?
Yeah, I should do another one.
It's crazy. They're definitely a turkey, man. They're definitely a turkey.
Let me see that thing.
Yeah.
I didn't see this video.
It
sounds like a raptor.
It's weird.
It's like a very, very weak version of a gobble, I think. I mean, to me, I hear that and I still think gobble, but it's just like a very, very sad version of it.
Like if I heard an Eastern gobble like that, I'd be like, oh, he's sick.
Yeah, he's
not okay.
He's fucked up.
We got to cull this bird.
That's a cull bird.
Let me chip through some of these questions. Mark Reif, we just talked about this a little bit, but it applies. I've heard their call before, and it's different than the usual gobble. Did you hear them make any calls? Were you able to call to them? Are there call makers out there that sell calls to use when hunting this species? So you kind of already talked about the recording, but I wonder if there are actual calls.
Yeah, I don't know, because I didn't know. I don't know if the females make any kinds of noises or whatnot. They weren't trying to call with any kind of female call. They just had that gobble recording, and they did roost birds. They did roost birds with that call, and one woman, we roosted one, and a woman went the next day. It was there. Her and her husband, they were like 70 years old, in their 70s, and they were both there hunting together. And she shot hers the next morning, and they went to that tree, and it was basically as soon as you can get it got light, she just shot it out of the tree. But then he called one in when we were hunting another time, and I could send you guys a video. It was probably 10 yards away, and I was just videoing it. It was coming in, looking, seeing what the hell was going on.
That's awesome.
Quick question for you, Sean. Don't lie. Did you bring some mouth calls?
No, I didn't bring
some mouth calls.
You're like, hey, I got this. I got this. Don't worry.
I knew enough about them. I didn't know much, but I knew enough that I left them at home.
Out there trying to do a kiki run.
Oh, yeah. I would have brought him. Like, I got this.
The guy would have been like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
Be like, stupid gringo.
They just come running in.
It's like you were wearing a working class bow hunter hat in the photo, which thank you for that. But they're probably like,
oh hell yeah,
stupid podcast. They have no idea.
Dude, they have no idea what a podcast is.
I know.
El working class bow hunter.
That was racist, Doug.
No, it wasn't.
God damn it, Doug.
So we're on Instagram. Creek Jumper Outdoors said, "How do they respond to a call?" They don't. I imagine this is D-Rock from East Coast Bowhunting Podcast. What was his favorite taco he tasted in Mexico?
I shot a white collared peccary, which is basically it's just like a javelina, but it's got this, like, it looks like it has like a white collar and a tear around the neck, and they did cook that in the pit, and they made tacos, and that was really good.
How many animals did you actually shoot?
Three.
Four.
Oh, four. Okay. What else?
Yeah. So that first night I shot the turkey second, and then we parked, and then we're walking in, and then this little bird runs across the road when we're walking, and he's like, shoot. I was like, all right, this guy keeps telling me to shoot. I'm going to keep fucking shooting. So I shot it.
Hell yeah.
And it was, I don't even know. It's kind of like, not really sure how to compare it to what we have. It was a small bird. I don't know, kind of like a grouse type deal. It's called a tinamou, T-I-N-A-M-U. And they cooked that up, and that was the good thing. And everything that got killed, they cooked it up, and we got to eat it when we were there.
That's awesome. It's very cool.
The Cody was really good. The tinamou, they made, it was a small bird, so they made like little appetizer tacos out of it for everybody to try it.
So is everything just really made good into tacos?
They did.
That's right.
That was racist, Eric.
Your turn, Kurt.
A lot of tacos.
How was it crossing the border, man? Did you ask him about the wall? I'm sorry. I just had to get that in. Sorry.
Too far.
Oh. Too far.
But, you know, there's a lot of tacos. Some nights they did steaks. They did steaks one night that we didn't kill. They did, like, pork chops the last night. And
that's
was
awesome.
Probably one of the best pork chops I ever had.
Dude, that's what, I mean, I was on a resort, obviously. Like, I would love to like actually get in there and try like authentic, real like Mexican food.
That was one of the coolest things. Is, you know, all my trips I've been to have been in the United States, so it wasn't really a big deal. But my dad, he goes on all these crazy trips, and you know the culture and the food and the people he gets to meet and the stories he has, and that was what one of the coolest things for me was hanging out with some of these guys, even though we could barely communicate. Like, my guide and my buddy's guide, they were, you know, really cool. We laughed our ass off to little that we could communicate.
Yeah.
And the food was just unbelievable. Oh my God. Like, I could never eat Mexican food back here and, you know, really enjoy it after eating it there.
That's what you can't awesome, even man. Compare it to.
Probably. Yeah, probably not.
Oh, it's night and day. I mean, their food was like, even the sauces that they had to put on stuff just made everything that much better. It was crazy. The food was unbelievable.
That's the cool thing I like about like going out of the country. Like, I haven't been many places, but my favorite thing is like eating, like trying different food. Cause mm-hmm. I think,
for sure.
You know, we are used to the food we have here. We try all that stuff. So I like to try stuff that's kind of off the wall. Like in Brazil, we go out to lunch with a lot of the Brazilian guys down there that worked at the John Deere factory. And we do like, oh yeah, we're going to go to a steakhouse lunch, whatever. And one was like a steakhouse. They would like bring a big, like, shank with a bunch of meat on it, and they'd like cut it off for you at the table, but everything else besides the meat was like in a buffet line. And I'm like, this is heaven for me, because there's a bunch of stuff that I've never even seen. So I'm like glopping all this stuff on my plate. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna try that, I'm gonna try this.
You gotta try it.
And I see this like potato salad looking stuff. I'm like, I love potato salad, that looks like potato salad. I scoop it up and I'm getting ready to put it on my plate, and Volney was the Brazilian technician's mm-hmm. name. He goes, no, your stomach won't be able to handle that.
Oh,
because it had their dairy down there is different than ours, and it was potato salad, but he's like, no, you can't do that. He's like, you'll be puking and shitting. So, but it was just cool down there, because, you know, I'm glad I had those guys to look out for me. I did get sick when I was down there from it might have been from the water. They told us not to drink the water down there because we're not used to it.
And you did?
I drink a lot of mixed drinks with, like, ice and stuff in them.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
And I think that got me over time, over the 3 weeks I was there. But that's, like, the fun part is, like, experiencing the culture and the people and
all that. That's part of the trip.
Yeah.
Not just hunting or just the trip, but that's part of it.
Yeah, for sure.
That was one of my favorite things coming out of it, because a lot of these crazy trips, like, I mean, I'm never going to say no to them, but if I had my bucket list of things that I want to do, I'd want to do, you know, I want to do elk, I would want to do moose, and a lot of the stuff in, like, North America, like, around in the United States and whatnot. But, you know, if I was spending the money, if I had, you know, unlimited money to spend, but my dad, he's been all over, so he's got a different perspective, and he likes, I don't know, all these crazy ones, so, and they just weren't really on my radar. But after this trip kind of was like, you know, really opened my eyes to, you know, the different experiences and things you could take out of it other than the hunting. I mean, the hunting was awesome, but the food and the people and just the sights that you're seeing driving That's through cool. little cities and towns, it was cool.
That is awesome, man. That is very cool. Well, I think we covered your hunt pretty well, man. Anything else you want to add? Anything we missed? Like, anything noteworthy? I'm not rushing you out.
I don't know. As far as the hunt goes, not really. I mean, there's a lot of other animals. I mean, my dad saw two jaguars when he was hunting.
Oh, no shit.
They have those there?
Yeah.
You're going to pass that up?
you can't hunt them anymore. I don't know. I think that season's been closed for a long time, like decades now. But he, back-to-back days, and nobody else saw one, but he was sitting over water holes back-to-back days, and he said it was the biggest cat he's ever seen other than his lion that he shot. He shot mountain lion, leopard, female lion. He said this thing was massive. He said it was crazy.
Oh, shit.
Woof. Yeah, he said all of a sudden it just came in, like, super silent. All of a sudden it was right there, like 25 yards, lapping up water like a freaking house cat.
Like, that's weird, because I have a cat, nothing will fuck you up, but a big cat like that, good.
Couldn't imagine.
Oh,
you're done.
I think about it all the time when I think about giant, like, big predator cats, like a leopard or a mountain lion or, like, a, you know, a cheetah or whatever.
A lion, yeah.
And when you look, or a tiger even, when you look at, like, your house cat, and then you look at, like, footage on YouTube or on TV of a big cat like that, they move the same way. And it's hard to hold a house cat down.
It's creepy.
Let alone hold a mountain lion or a leopard down.
They'll fuck you up, like, for sure.
You're not holding nothing
down.
That
dude that just killed that mountain lion with his fucking bare hands.
It's impressive, man. Yes.
I mean, I couldn't imagine fighting a mountain lion. They said it was a baby, but the dude still killed a mountain lion with his bare hands.
Was that in Colorado?
I think so.
Yeah, that dude was all hopped up on edibles going for a jog. And, dude, next thing you know, he's getting mauled by a mountain lion.
He's just throwing hands at the mountain lion.
Got, good. I mean, good for him, man. Grief. Can you imagine the horror?
No.
I think about that all the time. Like, I would rather get attacked by a wolf than a cat.
Oh, I went for with my sure. dad. I went with my dad to Montana when he shot his I forgot that on my list earlier. I've been to Montana. But I was with him when he shot his mountain lion. And his was like... I think it was like 140 pounds, and it was
whoa,
yeah, it was big, yeah, and like, but they had one mounted in camp that was 180. It was fucking huge.
That's like as big as me.
You might as well just lay on the ground and give up.
Just let it kill you,
dude. It was crazy. Here's my neck. It was, and then you shoot them out of a tree, and it's like I couldn't imagine if the thing hits the ground and it's not dead, and all of a sudden it just hits the ground and comes at you.
Yeah, dude, I'm not going with Steve on a mountain lion hunt. Steve will hit that thing in the tail.
No,
you
want
to go with Steve because you're faster than Steve.
Oh,
faster.
You're already gone. Good
you're
point.
Faster than Steve.
Good point.
All you got to do is be faster than him. My dad, like, when he went, went for his brown bear in Alaska. They were walking up on it, and he was telling the guy, he's like, look, this thing's not alive. He's like, sorry, but I'm going to shoot you in the foot, and I'm taking off. All I got to do is be faster than you.
Damn.
Shit, that's sorry, crazy. Bud.
Hey, maybe we should Steve won't listen to this because he sucks at his craft. So,
as his
hey,
job, you
we
mean?
should frame him. No, he doesn't listen to the podcast. He should be listening to get himself better at talking, but let's get him on a mountain lion hunt.
He won't do it.
And then we'll let him shoot.
No way.
Yeah, there's no way Steve could even get to it.
He couldn't afford it anyways.
Well, he couldn't get to the cat. You know how worn out he would be?
He can't handle the hills of Illinois.
Dude, I was telling him about my elk hunt in Colorado last year, and he was already like hinting about shortcuts, how he could do it. I'm like, dude.
Shortcuts.
I was like, I'm not the most shapely dude. Like, I'm not in the best shape. I could be in way better. I could be like 30 pounds lighter in the best shape ever. And I like just had the motivation to like try and kill an elk.
Right.
So like that kept me like moving, right? And I probably lost 10 pounds on that trip. Steve doesn't even have the motivation to get out of bed to sit in a ground blind. He don't have the motivation to get up anything.
Dude, I'm telling you, if I'm a mountain lion in a tree and I see that fat boy with square deals,
dude,
I'm jumping. I'm pouncing.
Dude,
I'm
he probably pouncing. Just sits like old Arby's.
Dude, he...
Like just smell that
Arby's.
Meat.
Yeah.
That's
we have
meat.
The meats.
That's funny
Jesus
meat.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Steve just tastes like stale Arby's. And
the
you left in your truck.
And looking at his lips. Just,
he'd show up to that hunt in cowboy boots trying to walk up a mountain. For
he
sure.
would.
Dude, yeah, he would. I brought the best boots I had. They're slip-on Ariats from Farm and Fleet.
Well, the only thing he'd have for him is that the dogs treat him, and that thing probably isn't going to go anywhere, so he'd probably have a lot of time to get up there.
No, I'm still pouncing.
But he'd have to get there first is the problem.
Yeah.
So, oh, the dog's found one about 2 miles away, and Steve's like, eh.
Yeah, listen, Sean, you'll meet Steve in person here soon, being a part of Team Hang and Bang, and you'll be like, ah, yeah, okay, this makes sense. Yeah.
He's a fucking idiot.
Well, I was talking to D-Rock this weekend, and we were trying to maybe make plans to meet him partway and ride for the shoot with him.
Oh, dude, yeah, you got to make it out here for the shoot, man.
You have to.
Because he was saying, I guess, Modern Assassin's riding with him.
Yep.
He's on the way, and he's saying he's talked to him, but he said probably can meet up with him, ride with him to meet up with D-Rock, and then ride all the way out to Illinois.
Do it.
Yeah,
do it.
You got to do it, man.
So
you
I
won't.
Was like,
you won't.
Yeah, you won't do
well,
it.
Well, as long as freaking Modern Assassin's okay with riding with some fucking stranger, I'm
dude. Have
already
you,
told D-Rock I'm in.
Have you ever met that guy?
Of course he's down. Dude, Garrett is balls to the wall, man. Yeah,
no one's a stranger to that guy.
Yeah.
No one.
Yeah. He's all for it. I'm excited to see that guy again, man, actually. Like, I kind of forgot that he was rolling with D-Rock. I'm pumped.
Yeah, we were talking about it on Saturday, and I was like, man, if that could happen, I'm definitely in. I already told my wife. I was like, yeah, so I'm going to go to Illinois in a couple weeks. And she probably thinks I'm crazy, like some stranger. You're going to Illinois to go hang out with some dude you never even met? I was like,
fucking A,
pretty,
you are.
Pretty much.
No, yeah.
Shooting bows and drinking beer, I'm in.
Yeah, it's going to be such a good time. I'm glad Garrett's coming because we're going to have – so it's not like – you know, we're off the turkey hunting story now. But I've been getting a lot of messages about, like, the shoot. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to come in and win this competition. I'm like, well, it's not a competition. Like, people think it's a competition. This is just a fun shoot. It's just as much a social event as it is a bow shoot.
Right.
And
I mean,
the targets we're setting up are ridiculous. Like, they're going to be damn ridiculous because we just want it to be fun. Like, we want, and we're going to have backstops, like targets set all around these 3D targets people are shooting at, because we want people to get outside of their comfort zone and have fun and don't worry about losing an arrow. Like, we'll recover it. We got banks we're shooting in. There's going to be backstops. Like, it's let loose. So the first shot might be across the lake. Who knows?
At Doris.
At Doris.
Yeah, started off right.
I saw that video of Steve.
Yeah. Now, Doris isn't going to be a part of the 3D shoot, but we're going to have her set up right in front of the pavilion. That way, when you shoot at Doris, you have the crowd pressure. So it's going to be across the lake. It's going to, I think it's like 40, 50-ish yards. And Doris has the perfect vital. She's a bedded golden doe. Her vitals are cut out, and there's a 14 ring cut out. And what happens with Doris is,
she's a ruthless bitch is what she is.
She is, and she deserves respect.
She's hungry, too.
She's hungry. Eric or myself will get the big megaphone there, and we will announce, hey, Doris is thirsty. Whoever can throw a 14 ring in Doris will get, like, just an example, a Scent Crusher gear bag. And then you got 20 buffoons that step up to try and throw a 14 ring at Doris.
And usually it's ting, 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 and, ting.
14 ring is,
and there's probably $400 worth of arrows that get slopped up by Doris's pride.
She's just sitting there smiling.
You better bring some junk arrows. If you're coming to the shoot. Yeah. And by the way, if you want to come, you better shoot us an email or a message quick, because it fills up fast, especially after we get talking about it. Doris slops up some arrows fast. So have your junk arrows ready.
How many arrows did you eat last year?
You know what's funny? She ate a pile, but when you look at her, you can't tell she ate that many arrows.
No, she's tough. She's a ruthless bitch.
Like, the paint on her, I spray painted her shiny gold. The paint on her is not even, like, nicked up that bad.
Didn't bother.
Nope. She didn't even
is
care.
Is that the same one you guys have been using the last couple years?
Last year was her first appearance. Because we had other targets before, but I thought it'd be funny to plasma cut out a bed of dough. We had this big chunk of steel.
She made up for it for her first year.
Yeah.
She did.
What's tricky is, like, the 14 ring, when I cut it out, it's thick steel. It's way too thick of steel. It's just the piece we had. When I cut it out, I had it set up on a forklift, and when I cut it out, like, the cut is kind of it's, like, angled. So, like, the hole is, like...
Oh, so it's even, like... It's
the
hole is
oblonged.
Yeah, the hole is tapered. Like, the cut on the metal is tapered. So, you have to be center punched on the hole to actually make it in.
So, your torch was at an angle is what you're saying.
Yes.
It's deceiving.
Yes. It was... I was cutting how I could cut it.
Did anybody hit the 14 ring last year?
There was a couple people that did, but there was a lot of bounce ends. Arrow has to be reshootable for it to count. So there's a lot of people that hit the metal and then bounce it in the hole. And then they
destroyed.
They'd pull their arrow out, and it's just freaking carbon shred at the end of their arrow.
Oh, shit.
So your arrow has to be reshootable in order for it to count.
And this year we're going to make it even harder because you got to shoot over a pond.
Yeah, shoot over a pond off of a rock, possibly, and there's going to be like 100 people watching you do it, maybe.
We don't know. Now,
the crowd pressure is probably going to be the worst part.
Well, that also is what makes it fun, though, because when you hear the ping, everyone like cheer.
And you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
You fucking
suck. People are going to be getting up there, their butthole's going to be tightening up when they see the crowd, and then be like, shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When you shoot at Doris, everybody's going to know about it.
Then you got Steve drinking a beer right in your ear, just like, you got this.
Yeah. We'll do some. The cool thing about the shoot is we do the knockout games first, which is, if people don't know what the knockout game is, I don't know if we made it up or if it's a thing that exists. But
I think we made it up.
It exists.
We're
now
the founders of that, for sure.
We'll claim it because we're assholes. broad force targets, if you are not familiar, you need to be familiar. They make awesome, big, bright orange, like, self-healing targets.
Yeah.
And they're sending us a couple giant wall targets. So what we do in the center, there's a square. We start, and this is kind of what we do at first to get people talking and get people to know each other. And
like, if you don't know anyone there, you can kind of get to know everyone.
Yeah, it's a social event. We want people to be friendly and talking to each other. So we start at 20, and we step back in 10-yard increments. And your arrow has to be within a certain, like, it's about the size of a paper plate. and you shoot at 20. If you make it in 20, you go back to 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, and so on until there's one man standing.
Two mulligans.
We're doing no mulligans this year, I decided. No.
Oh, so you're going to be out the first round?
Yep, because I want to adjust my sight.
So you'll...
That was 2 years ago.
I'll never forget
People
that.
People don't forget.
I'll never forget that.
So no mulligans this year.
20 yards and you're like 10 feet high.
Yeah. Yep, we're riding dirty.
Awesome. I like it.
So come on out, Sean. You're in for
I'm
a treat.
Have to do it, man. I was thinking about it and I was like, man, that's a long ways. But then E-Rock was like, dude, I was like, are you going? He's like, yeah, I'm going. And I was like, damn. He's like, well, you can meet up with Garrett and ride up here. And I was like, shit, if he's down, I'm going to do it, because I wanted to go last year and I just didn't do it. And then I was like, this year I got to go. So I probably would start shooting my bow in like July, but I was like, I busted it out 2 weeks ago and I was like, I got to start shooting. Otherwise I'm going to look like a jackass if I go out there.
You're ahead of me, because I'll be getting my bow going this next week. I had the working class bow hunter rituals going, but the 35, the one I'm actually going to be shooting, is not ready yet. So
we have to shoot the new ones.
I'm shooting the new bow.
All right. We didn't use the old ones.
The working class ones are so pretty. How are you going to hang that one up, man?
I know. We didn't get to use that this year.
I'm not.
Yet.
It's staying set up.
No, mine's all ready to go.
Oh, you're going to shoot that one?
I don't know. I might. Because we didn't get to shoot it last year.
I'm shooting the 35, man.
I'm going to bring both. You know, what the hell?
Oh, those working class ones are just so,
arrow again?
So sweet looking. I couldn't imagine just not hunting with it.
Dude, the working class rituals are, it's going to be tough. I'm leaving mine completely set up how it is. It's, she's a thing of beauty.
Oh my God. I saw when you guys posted pictures of those, I was like, damn, those things are nice.
They're killers. Those are,
that was, yeah, well, shit, yeah, you guys killed a lot of shit with them too.
Yeah, it was good.
That'll be the bow I have till I die.
Me too.
When are you getting that tattoo, man?
Ooh.
When are you getting that tattoo?
I was thinking about that because I have a tattoo appointment Saturday.
I had one scheduled and then something came up and I haven't scheduled again.
What are you doing Saturday?
He didn't schedule it. I have a bachelor party Saturday. Fuck.
You should get a tattoo guy to come out to the shoot and get it done at the shoot.
Oh, man. I don't know if that's legal, but I could talk to my boy this weekend.
And then we'll do this.
You gotta shoot at Doris.
Double or nothing and enlarges. If you miss,
I don't think so.
No,
Tim.
The dude already lost the bet. Like,
well, you shouldn't have lost the bet. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Now the.
I'll talk to my boy this weekend. How's that? He would knock that out for you.
Yeah, I don't care. Whatever. If it happens, it happens.
All right. Okay. Sean, thank you so much, man. It's been fun. I'm excited to meet you at the shoot.
Thank you guys, man.
Yeah, you gotta come out for sure. You guys have me. Make the trip.
Yeah, I'm gonna text D-Rock tonight and be like, "Yo, what's up?" Because I'm start making plans and putting time in for takeoff from work, because that's going to be a drive. I'm going to take a couple days for that.
You guys say, what's good?
Yeah.
What's good? Not for nothing.
Not for nothing, yeah, but
not,
I'm coming.
Not for nothing.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate you coming on the show, telling your story.
Really appreciate it.
I appreciate your efforts so far on Team Hang and Bang, even though we haven't gone that far with it yet. We're just getting rolling, but I appreciate your support and everything, man, along the way. So thank you.
Yeah. Shoot, I appreciate you guys having me on. I appreciate you guys making me part of Team Hang and Bang. And I just have a good time listening to the podcast and looking forward to see what's coming down the road.
All right, so I'm going to do this. Sean, close me out with something positive.
Something positive? I've been listening to you guys 2.5 years and pretty cool to finally get to talk to you guys. And I'm more positive. Hopefully here in a couple weeks, I'll get to meet you guys out there in Illinois and drink some beers, some Busch Lattes.
That's right. Eric, you got something positive?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to buy my first longbow. So
that's awesome.
Ooh, it's gonna be, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll dig into that real deep. And
maybe I'll bust mine out too with you. Is it a longbow or a recurve?
It's a longbow.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You got to go kill a buffalo with
I'm
that
going
thing.
Crazy.
A buffalo.
All right. And Doug, what do you got?
Something positive. Probably going to hit up Ross here soon and get my bow set up and start slinging them.
Yeah, you and Steve are behind the gun.
Yeah, I know.
Mind you, all set up.
Hey, I'll catch up fast. Don't worry about me.
You will.
Is Ross still going to set Steve's bow up for him after that freaking podcast debacle?
Probably not.
He's probably going to screw it up or something.
Ross will be like, you fucking idiot, while he's tying on his peeps.
Right.
It's like 2 inches too high.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. My something positive is we're back in the podcast groove. It feels good to be back in the studio on the regular schedule.
It is.
Things are a little different now. I'm a daddy. That's positive.
You're a dad.
And,
wait, Steve's not here. That's positive.
That's a super positive.
That's right.
And I'm looking forward to the summer, shooting bows and getting prepped for the very busy fall. Busy's good. It keeps us alive.
That's right.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device.